All right, we're going to bring the meeting of the Water Wastewater Standing Committee to order. Roll call, please.
Roll call has been taken. Let the record reflect all members are present with the exception of Vice Chair Kevin Graves.
At this point is public comments. Public can speak to us on anything that's not on the agenda. Do I have any public comments? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comments and move to approval of the minutes. So moved.
I agree.
All those in favor? Aye. Okay. Discussion items. Revised water wastewater bylaws reflecting a time change from 3 to 4. It was requested by Member Graves, and I'm sure he would approve of this, so I'm going to approve it. Pass it along. Anything else we need to do on that?
Nope, we'll officially change the bylaws then by consensus of this committee.
Okay. And now we're on to discussion item D2, sewer main on Wayfair. Staff, please.
Yes, so I turn this over to our engineer, Greg.
Okay. So previously, Bernie and Viola were doing flushing the sewer lines, and they uncovered another sewer line in Discovery Bay that's metal pipe that has failed, and there's no metal there anymore. It's similar to what happened in Cherry Hills, the lower part of Cherry Hills, and dirt was falling in. They had to be at an emergency like 2 years ago. Was it 2 years ago about that?
No, it was 2000. I have a note on this drawing, matter of fact. It was 2011, I believe it is.
2011. All right, so time flies. But at any rate, 2011, the sewer line was about to collapse. The board authorized on an emergency basis for a contractor to go and replace the line. And when we replaced the line, we found out there was no top to it. It was just gone, and dirt had crowned over, and then now the dirt was falling into the pipeline. So that can create obvious problems, like your sewer doesn't run, and it can also create a sinkhole and your street falls in too. So Bernie noticed this a couple months ago. We've since then brought that up to the board's attention. The request was for us to get some costs of what it might cost to fix this. And we've gone out and talked to two different contractors to help get cost estimates. Mike DeRouse, who worked on the last one in Cherry Hills, and then J.W. Backo, who's done a lot of digging in town, you know, doing the water meter project in town. So we talked to both of them. There's two kind of things occurring in that pipeline. There's 514 feet of steel pipe and 439 feet of PVC pipe. And it's kind of alternating. So they're kind of like steel, PVC, steel, PVC. Certainly not the way I design it, but that's how it is designed. Normally you would have be all one material. And then if you transition from PVC to steel, there's some kind of special coupling needed, which you wouldn't normally put in a sewer line. Normally you would only transition a manhole, and that would be your place to do it. So there's two kind of funky things. So we asked them for a cost if we just replaced the whole line, including the pieces of PVC up, and we asked them for a cost to just replace the metal pieces. Just to do the metal part of the pipe is about $250,000 of construction cost. Construction cost. Okay?
Sure.
If you went for the whole piece of pipe, you're looking around $430,000. Okay? And one of the issues is there's a lot of complicating factors with what's going on over there. So first off, there's some questions about groundwater. And is groundwater going to be involved? And Virgil's going to give an update on this in just a second. There's also questions that there's tenants, residents all up on both sides. And so when we did Cherry Hills here, we only had residents on one side, and they were kind of spaced up out a little bit. They weren't so tightly onto the sewer line. So the contractor had room to do work. I mean, he could mobilize his equipment. He could park across the street. There was no homes there. It was Highway 4. You know, the homes were on this side. And so they were able to work up and down it. This is going to be far more complex because it's the top half of Cherry Hills. Wayfair takes off from Cherry Hills and goes behind the little shopping center over there on the Discovery Bay Boulevard. And so there's houses on both sides. There's not as easy a place for a contractor to put his equipment without blocking somebody's houses. And then we need residents to get in and out on both sides of the street during this process. We've looked at like slip lining or some other methods, but there's so many laterals that that isn't going to help you, because even when you slip line and do it remotely, you still got to come clean the lateral. So they have to dig up and still get down all those laterals. So it looks like it's just going to be a tough dig. One of the questions that was coming up, and obviously the cost is really high, if we have to design a set of plans to go out to public bid to take care of all this, it's probably $50,000 because, you know, we have to protect the district against all these unknowns, and we got to put a public bid set out there, go as-built the sewer system, you know, all that kind of stuff. I think you'd be better off to spend the money on just improvements when you're ready to go. I think you're better off to identify a trusted contractor and take it out on an emergency basis and just have them T&M the process, because it's not going to be an easily scoped process in terms of issues, you know. Now, Virgil and I have been talking about it, and one of the things we want to identify, you know, the question is like, well, how thick is the asphalt? Because they got to rip out that asphalt and replace it. Well, is it 4 inches or 6 inches? Because it's been paved over by the county, so you don't really know how thick it is. How high is the groundwater? What do those connections really look like? So Virgil's been doing some work to try to look at those items, and he's going to update on that. So go ahead.
This is a drawing of that street. This is what we call as-built drawings. This is a copy of as-built drawings for Wayfair Court. Wayfair Court's in the golf course. As Gregory indicated, that the ductile iron pipe, and I'm not sure why they put ductile iron pipe, there's nothing explaining why. They just put it in there in a mix. Yesterday I went out and I marked it based on the asphalt, how many feet from the manhole, put an X there. We are going to pothole next week to, one, verify what the connection is like, two, thick of asphalt, third is the groundwater. All three of those play havoc on your cost for the contractor. Plus, in this particular section of the golf course, the houses are all tight. They have zero lot lines, so that means you pothole for their lateral, then you're going to have to dig to connect their lateral into a sewer main. We're going to specify PVC, take out the O, put in PVC, and you got to do it individually, and then you also have to have the homeowners not use any water, take any showers, minimize the toilets, flushing, because you got to back that up towards the house while you do the connecting on that.
And then to complicate that, the restaurant discharges, the steakhouse discharges into the top of this line. So that little shopping center discharges into the top of this line. So you either have to tell them to stop wastewater flow or you got to pump bypass. And so it's going to be a very slow process where you pump from one manhole down to the other, try and fix in between them. But then we got to maintain access to the residents. You know, we got to turn the water off to the residents so they don't have water coming in on us when we're got the pipe open and we're trying to make these connections. So they are based on the progress we made in Cherry Hills Drive, based on that schedule. This is like 4 or 6 weeks of work over there, meticulous to go and pump from this manhole to the bottom manhole, turn the houses off, somehow maintain access to these residents that are right on top of the street. It's a very narrow street. Find a place to park the contractor and dig this thing up, put it back, you know, keep going. So the costs per foot are quite a bit higher than we thought. And all of them, I mean, both contractors we talked to, Conco West and JW Backhoe, they're like, hey, there's a lot of unknowns here that we're not going to take responsibility for because, you know, we just don't know how we're going to be able to deal with some of these items. So it's more cost than we were talking about last time. I think we said like $100,000 last time was my first take on it, but that's why we went out and talked to two different contractors about it. And then that would be our cost. Kevin, you weren't here, but basically I said if we only replace the metal pipe, the construction cost would be about $250,000.
Yeah.
Okay, and then if we went for the metal and the PVC in this area, it would be about $430,000. And then that doesn't count design, project management, and other things that have to take place to try and get this done. And so the real thing is you really can't ignore it if the metal is gone, like we found at Cherry Hills, And remember, what was the other line that we dug up that had a sinkhole on it?
Beaver.
So on Beaver Lane, we had the same thing, metal pipe, we went to replace it. They started digging and they found a 10-foot diameter sinkhole. The whole asphalt caved in. You know, so cars are driving over that sinkhole, you know, and didn't know it, but could have just fallen in the hole while they were driving. So we can't ignore it forever. I don't know if it's ring the doorbell, emergency right this second, but the longer that it goes, the more at risk of an imminent failure is your app. Yeah, Kevin.
So you gave me two numbers, 275 and 430 or whatever, yeah. Right? Are there options? Can we do one or the other? I mean, I don't understand why.
Yeah, no, there are. So initially what's gone on is, it turns out it's like metal for a stretch, then PVC, then metal pipe, then PVC. So it's kind of this funky four pieces of pipe. And where they transitioned, like, wasn't at a manhole. Like, normally you come to a manhole, and this side of the manhole would be one pipe, and that side would be the other. It's literally halfway down the street. They just go, like, halfway down the street, and they switch. According to the drawings, they just switch to metal pipe, and then they go on. So it's a really funky design and a real funky connection. It's not how you would design a sewer system that I'm aware of, you know, but they did it, and that's what they did. Normally, if I was going to design this from scratch, I'd have from one manhole to the other, it would be the same pipe material, and there'd be no breaks in it. There wouldn't be any special couplings. Because when you go from steel to PVC, you need a special coupling.
Right.
They don't just slide into each other.
But we're replacing the steel with PVC, right?
Well, we would be, yes, correct. And the only question is, we're not quite sure what they did with the PVC that's there, so that's where Virgil's talking about popping down to get a little bit more information to kind of help us out. But the real question is, we're in this ballpark now. I mean, I've talked to two different contractors, and they're all like, yeah, this is $250 to $300 a foot to take care of this. And there's some unknowns about bypassing and how well we're going to have access. That's a big concern is access. You know,
but we're not the first community that's ever done this. I mean, if these are experienced contractors, they've dealt with these situations before. Dealt with the temporary shutoffs.
Right.
They've dealt with dealing with the customers. They've dealt with all this crap before.
Yeah.
Excuse the pun. They've dealt with all this before.
Absolutely. The real thing is, when they give me a cost based on our drawings, they're basically saying, look, this isn't a hard bid yet. You know what I mean?
No, I get it.
You know, they're just saying, they're trying to alert us that, you know, okay, we look on your drawings here, Greg, that you provided me. We're looking at this. We're experienced and know enough that these things occur. We put some money towards them, but we really haven't gone out and investigated. We haven't gone out to determine how thick the asphalt really is. Like, that's what caught them last time on Cherry Hills Lane. They got into it, and the asphalt was twice as thick as they thought. And then you cut a change order to them for the thicker asphalt last time, and things like that. So the first question, the first goal was the ballpark, how much is this going to cost? And originally, I was thinking the proper engineering design would be to just replace all the pipe from A to B and be done with it. Now that I see that cost, that probably is not practical, and you're just going to replace the metal pipe. But you're in the ballpark of $250,000 for the construction cost, and then depending on how you want to administer that, if you want to go out and have multiple bids and have us do a full-blown design, you know, then it's going to be another $50,000 for us to design that. I don't recommend doing that. I think you do what you did on Cherry Hills, which is we have a set of drawings about what's supposed to be in the ground. You get a contractor you trust, and you get a base price and say, okay, our base is $250, and we'll just go out and take care of the problems as they happen, and spend the money on the improvement. That's what I would recommend. But, you know, it isn't technically an emergency.
But it's not something you kick down the road very far.
But it's not something you want to kick down the road either. Right.
We don't even know. We could have a sinkhole right
you could.
There. We don't even know. That's what makes it an emergency.
Yeah.
What's the life expectancy of PVC pipe? The type of pipe that's in the ground?
Yeah. The PVC pipe is, generically speaking, more than 50 years. Okay. No one will quote pipe longer than that. But there's really nothing that damages PVC except physical damage, like if there's an earthquake and settling or something like that.
Yeah. So barring that kind of thing, then that current PVC that's in the ground should be fine.
I would not expect anything. I would not expect anything to be wrong with the PVC in the ground. It's just that you don't normally put couplings in the middle of pipe.
Right, well, you'd have to cut it back 5-10 feet to
Right. Right. I would not recommend replacing the whole pipe. Once I saw the cost, I wouldn't. I mean, originally I was like, let's do this as an engineering, let's do it right, take it all out. I saw the cost and said, no way.
Coupling the PVC to the PVC is easier than steel to PVC.
Right, yes.
So that, I mean, at least they're the same product, right?
Yeah.
We just don't know where those couplings are going to be.
Right, and we don't know if the groundwater is going to be a problem, and we don't know if,
did they use the right PVC? Like, is there something that they used back then that might not be...
It's a good question. According to the drawings, they used SDR-35, which is a common PVC compound for this. Doesn't mean that's what they put in, but it is what the drawing says. So all I can say is they supposedly used the correct PVC. That is a good question.
Okay, what, the water is way past the bridge. It's just the thought process.
Water way past the bridge.
The wastewater.
Yeah. Oh.
The county had to sign off on these sections, correct? So as this subdivision was built out, somebody put in PVC, and then somebody designed it.
Yeah, the county.
There was county, yeah. Okay. Let's put this. There's an engineer at the county that approved this set of plans. That is correct. I don't know who it was. 7 years ago.
But at the time, metal was an authorized product at that time?
Yes. At the time, it was allowed. And in Discovery Bay, what they seem to have done is where they thought that they were going to have problems with the sewer system, they seem to have opted to put metal in. That's the only thing that I can take. Because there's a few places in Discovery Bay where they have metal. Usually it's clay. Usually the pipe is clay or the pipe. And PVC in the 70s was just coming out. It wasn't like, it's not like it is today. Everything's PVC. Okay. In the 70s, plastics didn't have as long a track record at all. And so engineers usually try to stick with clay pipe, or this is what's called cement mortar lined ductile iron pipe. Ductile iron pipe is just an extremely poor choice for a sewer system because there's such aggressive attack to the pipe.
But there's also the issue not one developer built Discovery Bay. I mean, there was at least four or five different developers that attempted to make this a successful, and it wasn't until Hoffenbottom from Wells Fargo that it finally had enough money to make it work.
Right.
So you would buy the development, put in some streets, and then abandon it or go for bankrupt, and a bank would take it over. Yeah. Then another developer would come in. So this is part of the inherent problem we have, too.
I would agree.
Historical.
Yeah. Look this way. You have patchwork items in Discovery Bay that just seem like that. It's like, well, this is just a random one-off, different than everywhere else. Here it is in Discovery Bay.
We're relying on the drawings. I'm wondering, have we sent a camera through there?
That's what brought us here.
I understand that's what brought us here, but the camera should be able to tell where the ductile iron stops and the PVC begins, because there's no corrosion in the PVC. And does that line up with that plans to give us any kind of an indication that those may be accurate?
It starts out at this end, and this is the beginning of a manhole right here at the end of the court. Starts out PVC, transitions to ductile iron, and then comes to this manhole, ductile iron leaving the manhole. The camera can't get in to either way to look at that.
The latest attempt with the camera, it gets stuck in the pipe.
That's correct.
And it won't keep going.
The legs, the wheels won't crawl over the rusted metal
things that have fallen in the pipe.
So, we were good drone pilot.
Now, was there a video 5 years ago that we could look at? So we could go back and look at the video 3 years ago.
You might want to see how that lines up.
Yeah.
But it seems to me the camera can roll through the PVC fine, right?
Yeah.
When it can't roll anymore, you've hit the ductile iron.
Right.
Right? So maybe that's an indicator.
At least the transition.
That's what I'm saying. And you might want to see through some kind of a process to verify, is there a way to kind of verify?
Yeah. More information would be helpful. Right?
Exactly.
So prior to coming up with where the money would come from, we still need a little more investigation. Do some spot potholes here and there to check the depth of the asphalt. verify
water and all that.
Yeah. Like that.
And then we also noticed, based on this as-built, the sewer main coming from the business park, Lakeview Business Park, is ductile iron, 6-inch. And so I have written a letter to Dr. Mike to let him know we have a problem on our end. You may have a problem on your end.
I can't.
Have we heard anything from him?
Not on that.
Is it his liability from his building to
The manhole?
That's it.
Every homeowner. It's all the way up to the sewer main.
Yeah, so it's his liability, but I guarantee you he probably does not aware that he's got he could have the thing collapse on him the same way.
Well, his was just put in, right, when it built.
No, that 6-inch was there for a while. I don't know why it was there, but it was there.
I think they stubbed out for
future,
him.
Future.
Yeah, so they stubbed out for him.
There used to be a building and a restaurant there in the opening days of Discovery Bay. But
it's the same age as what we're doing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I would suspect that.
And this was put in 89, this piping was.
Could he do some kind of a split line since it's just.
He may be able to, yeah, I mean, because he doesn't have any laterals to connect. We have 40 laterals up and down the street, you know, so going 10 feet slip line and then hooking up another, you know, he just doesn't get you anywhere, you know, kind of thing. But he may be able to pipe burst it or slip line it or do some other things to not have to dig the whole thing up. But then again, since he doesn't have any laterals, one of the biggest things that slows the process is the laterals. I mean, just digging a straight pipeline and laying in a new pipe is pretty fast. If you don't have to stop every 10 feet and hook up and take the thing apart and hook it all back up and put the things in, you know. One of the things that makes this so slow is we have to bypass the flow, and that includes the flow from the restaurant, you know, around our work area. And then we got to fix that whole work area so it works by the end of the night, so people's bathrooms work by the end of the night, you know, kind of thing. And then we're still going to end up blocking people's drivers. There's just no thing about it. You know, there's just, you can't get in that street with excavation equipment and stuff without blocking somebody's driveway, because the drivers are right up both sides, and it's not a very wide street.
Well, I think we could probably work something out. I don't know. I haven't driven out, I can't see it, but is it possible to work one side, or you've got to take both the lateral going north and south?
You've got one section
the yellow,
of the line.
The yellow is the metal pipe.
You got homes here, but on this section where it's yellow.
The lower area is more side, like the original Cherry Hills. Side. It's this top part.
Bypass. This is the sewer lateral that comes in from the stakeout. You got to lay a pipe on the road coming over and dropping into here or this manhole. And dropping it into there. So that means homeowners coming in here need to drive over that pipe.
So they got the pipe, because we need the bypass pipe. I got to get a pipe from one end down to the other.
That's a common thing.
It's just
a big deal. That's not the big deal. It's just expensive.
Yeah. That's all.
It's just, it's going to be really tight in there, especially when they're on both sides. In that area where they're on both sides of the road, what's going to happen is we're going to be temporary blocking somebody. If they got to leave, they're going to have to wait.
How to resolve that would be to do a parking time frame. In other words, the contractor would know that we're going to try, just like the water, we're going to try and get six of these done. Well, I don't know. You're going to have to park your car down the street and walk in and walk back for that day.
Right. And then there's going to be a lot of public interaction.
It's going to be really no different than when the asphalt on the street was stuck. Couldn't drive over the fresh asphalt.
It's like a story.
This is going to be.
The only thing is, the asphalt's over in one day or two days. This is going to be 4 to 6 weeks.
So this means community meetings and everything else, and meeting with these homeowners. It's going to be an issue.
So, in terms of next steps, we're going to get some more information. But let's put it this way, I don't think it's anything less than $250,000. I think that's your floor. If we just replace the PVC, then there may be a few other issues, but expect some change orders or some things that we uncover. And then there's the whole question about how you want to contract for it. If you really want to go out to public bid design, or if we're just going to have JW take care of it, or Conco take care of it when we're ready to do it. I would not personally want to go through another winter like we had this year, knowing the shape of pipelines. because when you get that rain down in there, it can wash the dirt out, and that's what can cause your, that's what can cause your seepage.
How long does this project take?
Like I said, it would be, they're guessing 4 to 6 weeks of on-site construction. If they had the materials and they were ready to go in the street in 4 to 6 weeks.
How many homes does it affect?
Right now, 40 homes are tied into all the PVC and the metal. If you only did the metal, you're only affecting like 23, 24 homes, but you're in the way of the other people, is what it kind of comes down to. Because it goes on and off in terms of how it goes.
So if J.W. Backer did this on an emergency basis, it takes him away from the water meter project.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it until he was done. I mean, yeah, both people I contacted, J.W. has to finish the water meters first, and even Comco was not available until later. You know, no one's available right now. He said they'll do it right now. Neither one of them available. You know, because they got to have the water meters done.
How many other companies do this kind of work?
There are others.
There are others.
The issue is some of them we haven't always worked with. Like maybe GSC can pull it off. I don't know.
Well, you know, they would have a track record with other towns or other cities.
Right.
And
we could
verify that through those towns or cities. And how they go. The reason I'm a little hesitant, JW backhoe, fine, whatever, but we're just throwing a ton of money at him and opening up another blank check. I find it hard to justify that.
Right.
Plus, he couldn't get to it until the end of December, potentially.
Probably earlier than that, but yeah.
Maybe the first of December, we'll write that out in the rainy season.
I'd like to see if we couldn't at least interview maybe two or three others. So that we've got more than just two.
No, we could do that.
We could do that, but we need just to get more data about that.
The potholing, find out how big the asphalt is, maybe run the cameras down another time. Yeah. So spend another, in the next 2 weeks, try to get that information.
And then with a little bit more information, we could get some more firm quotes. The real question is, do you want like the true public works, public bid process? Or are you okay with getting some informal quotes from some of these guys that
I'm okay with getting a good working relationship. To go out to public bid on something like this, it's almost impossible to do it.
I would agree. And then it puts us in a box of taking the lowest bid and all that. And even if they're qualified, if they don't come back with a good reputation, it kind of puts us in a box.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I want to get as many competitive bids as possible, don't get me wrong. I want to make sure that we're getting good, honest pricing.
Yeah.
But I don't think it needs to go out on the open market like that. It's only 43 homes.
I don't know. Is there any legal requirement?
Well, there's board policy about bidding items that are over $25,000. But we can get bids. It would just kind of be...
It'd be a base bid.
A base bid.
If
that's what I'm saying.
A bid for this, and even if five people respond to that,
right,
we can work through that and decide.
But we're not publicly advertising. That's the real difference. Is we're not publicly advertising. We're privately getting those.
We are legally required.
We may need to talk with Rod. If you call it an emergency, you're not.
Well,
but if you don't, if you just say it's general work, then genetically, you're supposed to go out to public. You're supposed to go out to public bid and public notice for just doing work around town. You know, if it's an emergency, you can just hire anybody you want to go do that. You know, kind of thing. The last two have been done on an emergency basis. Now, what this is we're saying is it's kind of an emergency, but we're being methodical about it. You know, like when we called Mike up last time, he's like, literally, come today. This is a major problem. The whole sewer line collapsed. Come today. On Beaver Lane, we knew about it, but we took a month to get it. Didn't we? About a month.
We went out to bid.
Oh, how did we do that?
We did.
Did you do a public bid, or did you just do?
No,
got a couple quotes.
We got a couple.
You got a couple
quotes,
private quotes, right? But I think it was still done under quote an emergency. So
it was.
The if you do it on an emergency basis, you can do it anymore.
Well,
you've
got to
be careful.
Let's
how just you
do two things. One is we'll run it up to legal matter a little bit, verify what our parameters are. And then number two, by getting the additional information in the next couple of weeks, in finding a couple other suppliers, contractors, I think we'll be in a much better position, say 2 weeks 3 weeks from now.
Right.
Kind of go whatever direction we go. I'm in agreement. I think we just replace the iron pipe and leave the PVC.
As long as when we get in there, it's what it's supposed to be.
Right, right. The way it's supposed to be.
Right. You see, the PVC is somehow subject to some kind of compromise.
Yeah.
That changes the game.
So, in your opinion, this could potentially be an emergency.
Well, you could easily call it an emergency.
Right.
We have stuff. So let's put it this way: he can't drive a camera in there because there's dirt in the pipe.
Well, the rust on the pipe expanded, so you can't put your camera in there.
So there's different levels of emergency.
Right.
It's an emergency right now. We don't want it to be a catastrophic emergency where we have a sinkhole and the car falls into it.
Right.
So I think we're in emergency status.
Right.
It's just that we don't want to be in a worse emergency status.
Right. Yes. That's exactly right.
And here's the next question. It's not a matter of are we going to do it? Yes, we are. This is unexpected. Do we have budget?
We budgeted $250,000.
And this year?
17-18.
Yeah, I'm hearing $250,000 plus contingency.
That's correct. Well, that is just for the construction fees.
And that's just for construction.
There's
parts, and then there's going to be our time to do
our toll
during the process.
They have another 100.
I don't know if it'd be that bad, but you can be safe with that number. But yeah, I would think that's
75 to 100.
Well, and that's a decision. I mean, that's just what we have to deal with, and where we're going to come up with those funds.
Right.
Because it is an emergency. We got to get it done.
We certainly don't want to go into October, November with another heavy water heater when we already know the pipe's failing and stuff's falling in the sewer line. I mean, that's just begging for a sequel.
Well, I would say that we want to try and make it get the path to this going within the next couple of weeks.
And another way to look at it, if it's 4 to 6 weeks and you need to do it before the rainy season, it's going to take you at least 6 to 8 weeks, probably, if you went through a formal bid process.
Yeah, we never have time to do it.
So working back,
mobilization is going to run us out 3 weeks.
You almost don't have time to do a public bid at this point. You need to get it done.
You're already into October anyway. By the time you do, getting the price, getting the mobilization, starting the projects, 8 weeks out, boom, you're in October, man.
Right.
You're already June.
Yeah.
I know a really good pipeline contractor. I'll put you in touch with. I don't know if you've worked with him before, but TNS Construction. They've done a lot of.
Who's that?
TNS Construction.
Okay.
TNS Construction.
Out of where?
They are out of, they're north of Sacramento, but they've traveled all over for projects that we've done on the water for like water facilities, but they're mostly pipelines, is their specialty. So they're not.
Shoot somebody that has contact information.
Okay, yeah. I was going to send it to Greg, but I could send it to Mike as well. But anyway, just somebody you can call in terms of like talking about quotes and stuff like that.
Okay, so if this is going to be an emergency situation, we need to go into emergency situation mode.
Yeah.
And treat it as an emergency, so that means trying to expedite our processes in identifying this, whatever extra information we need to do, and then immediately follow that up with trying to get some contractor bids and getting this work started.
Yeah. I think that those drawings I marked up, so the information is taken off the quantities of materials. I think if we get these other questions from Virgil, and Virgil, you can give me a look at a light, I can quickly get information out to some other contractors, TNS, whoever I can come up with.
And whoever we pick, we need a good plan for the residents. We have to talk to the residents before. We need good communication with the residents. And that means having a good plan that they understand. They may not like, but at least they'll understand it. And it needs to be done before the tractors start rolling in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other information that you guys need from us? You have directions.
Okay.
All right.
Obviously, this will go back to the full board.
Right. Correct.
We start pulling the trigger.
Yes.
Okay. Well, on to item B3, the PLC project update.
So I'm just going to do a brief update. So Telstar is the contractor for the Willow Lake PLC project, which includes the PLC and the SCADA system, bringing the Willow Lake, the replacement of the PLCs that control all the plant operations at Willow Lake and at the wells 1 and 2. And the project also included integrating with the new internet radio system that the town's been transitioning to via Gregory Harris and the wastewater plant projects a couple of years ago. So there's a new internet radio system that's been integrated, that's being integrated into with this Willow Lake project. So I guess I probably gave some kind of an update when I did a presentation in front of the board in May 17th, when we were talking about the factory testing and the diligence that we did to oversee some of the factory programming that was taking place. Just a few days after that is when they were doing their installation on the site. And so the PLC integration at Willow Lake, the new PLC has been successful. We walked through those parts of the systems. They're currently still working on a radio comm issue to integrate into the SCADA system. So they have communications, but it's not optimal. It's not ideal at this point. So they're still working through some radio comm issues. But the PLC integration on the plant itself is operating with the programming and computers that are on the site right now to operate the facilities. So at this point, Telstar is still working through the radio comm issue. Their last progress billing for the project put them at 90% completion. They have a remaining contract amount of still $19,842. And like I said, we're waiting for... I've been actually working with Gregory on this too because of his involvement with the SCADA system, development from the ground up, and it's kind of related to integrating with this network. So we're supposed to be getting some recommendations from Telstar next week to hopefully do the final troubleshooting and determine what this issue is and what the fix is going to be to get optimal radio communication state.
Who's the, is there a main vendor for the radio communication stuff? I know the antenna and all that.
Telstar provided all the equipment. There's a couple different vendors that, like the radio is made by MDS, for instance, the antenna is from MDS, the PLC is from Allen Bradley, but Telstar was the purchaser and installer of all that equipment. So they're the integrator. The system integrator has been Telstar for all the radio items.
All right, so they should be able to pick a phone up and call the radio manufacturer.
Which they've done, right, which they've done. They've already been in contact with the radio manufacturer. And they probably need to go and test every single radio and swap it out and see if it's not a hardware issue. Anyway, they're still working through it. They're still on the hook to work through it.
Are they out here every day?
They've been out here quite a bit. They're probably not out here today because right now they're working internally to develop this recommendation to address the issue. There's several people involved, and so at this point it's been taken up to the regional manager level at Telstar, and we're supposed to be getting something in writing from them, a proposal next week to fix the radio problem.
What's your plan?
Right.
So the PLC process did not include radio?
No, it did.
Why would we have a plan phone to fix the radio that don't work?
Because they've been troubleshooting for the last few weeks. Right. They haven't been able to determine exactly what it is.
So
we want them to get their act together.
Right, so it's not a cost factor for us.
That's not how I'm viewing it. That's not how I'm viewing it. So if they come back and say so, there's plenty of support and ammunition to say that there's not a cost factor to the district.
Correct, because it's a brand new system, including
a brand new system.
Designed by Telstar.
Designed and installed by
Telstar.
It's all on them.
All right.
Yeah. We're just saying they need to get their act together,
right.
and we're hoping that that's what we see next week.
All right.
Yeah. They've been out of 5 weeks, and we've set it up to learn real time.
Well, I think they've got 90% of the money, so they're going in a different direction.
No, I mean, they're still working on other projects in Discovery Bay. I mean, They're committed to Discovery Bay. They've been here, from the beginning of the skating radio integration. So,
Telstar is also by coincidence the integrator for the filter project.
Right. So, do we owe them money on that?
We do owe them money on that, but we would not be wise to hold out money on that project. Okay.
No.
We could be slow to pay.
No.
But
like I said, they still have 20,000.
If you guys want the regional manager of Telstar in here, I can get him. You know what I'm saying? But the real thing is, they've asked for just a little bit more time. I upped it up to the regional manager and said, get involved, and we want an answer. We're tired of this endless chase. And
I would say, if Kevin agrees, that hearing what we're hearing, we're not getting anywhere. And I can understand how you escalate. You can send it back that you may be required to come to a board meeting and explain what you've been doing.
Yeah, I'll let him know.
I think that's giving them a little more heat.
If that's what it takes to support you guys, we're more than game to do that. We just want to support whatever needs you have. Make sure this thing gets wrapped.
We just want to see a reasonable plan.
If you're on this side, nothing happens, then maybe we need to elevate it on this side.
If you're in agreement, I don't care if a regional manager comes and sits and tells us.
Yeah.
It ain't doing good.
Right.
We'll go right to the board because that's where we can make a decision.
Yeah.
Right. He's had his own. As far as I'm concerned, the regional manager's here.
Yeah. Right.
So we don't need to see him.
Right.
We're going to the board.
Right.
We don't have an answer within the city.
So he committed to me Wednesday, next week.
Well, then 2 weeks is plenty of time.
Yes. Yeah. Is there extra to do? I don't. Okay. Well, that's the update.
That's the update. There isn't really much else to say. Once radio comms are established, we can pretty much
commit
commission and close out the project. Exactly.
All right, well, we've got words on the phone if you need.
Okay,
with that, we'll go to any future input.
I don't have anything to put on there. For the record, can I just state that Vice President Graves arrived at the meeting at 4:06 to support, so it's on the record? I don't know if anybody said that when I walked in the door. I'm not in here. Okay, that's all I got.
Okay, and with that,
I got one. So, the CIP, we laid it all out about things that we want to do starting after July 1st, but we haven't really put a, which one's going first, or
how... Plan one?
Not just plan one, but there's a bunch of stuff on there. There are pump stations, there's a lot of things in. There's the diffuser, there's the O&M manual, there's the pump station, there's plan one, there's a lot of things. Can't do them all at once, so somehow we have to prioritize what order are we doing these things in, in terms of resources and things, so that it isn't just crazy. Hey,
I would recommend that Veolia staff and yourself get together and
right.
You guys formulate the priority list.
Okay.
And if there's an issue where this could go first or second, this could go first for them, we can make that decision.
All right.
But if you get us a list that's pretty well prioritized based on what you guys feel, that's the direction I would.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll hold a priority meeting. And I don't know if working on your side could affect some of the stuff we're doing on your side. Maybe we all need to be in the room to talk about these.
Yeah, and the real thing is budget. I mean, because we've been waiting, the next fiscal year, but I don't know if we want to spend it all from July and August, or, we're spreading it out.
It doesn't matter. The money is...
I know you're wrong. I mean, you've got to know.
So, anyway, there's budget implications, and there's operations implications.
And I'm going to tell you, my philosophy is if it's in the budget, we've agreed to do it, let's move, let's do it.
Absolutely.
This is not something that should be sitting and fermenting.
Yeah.
How many
parts
can you do
at
one time?
Yeah. If we can do multiple projects at one time, we're going to do multiple projects.
Because you had your generator quote, right?
Yeah, that's
right. Some things are ready to go, some things are going to take some engineering, some things are going to take, that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, because staff needs to have a discussion and prioritize it and make that work. Okay, with that, I see the next item is adjournment, so we are adjourned.